Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you that you are good. Father, we pray that your goodness and the knowledge of your goodness would be known throughout this world, that people would come to know how good you are, that people would come to see you for the good, good God that you are. And Father, I pray that the deception that's just rampant on planet Earth, where people are blaming you for things, that the eyes of people that have been blinded by that terrible deception, that those blinders would be removed and come off, and the gospel light would shine forth, and people would see that you are good. And Father, help us to bear witness of your goodness in our lives. Help us, Father, to carry forth your goodness and minister your goodness, and really to just spread the knowledge of your goodness through experience to the people who are around us. May people experience your goodness through us. We thank you for that. Father, as we turn our attention to your word tonight and to the subject of healing, I pray, Father, that the eyes of our hearts will be flooded with light, that we will all see what we haven't seen tonight, that we will know the truth, and the truth that we know about your healing power and what's been provided for us in Christ Jesus. That truth will bring freedom forth, freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, freedom from illness, freedom, Father, from chronic problems and ongoing situations and pain and malfunction and things that aren't performing right and things that aren't doing what they were created to do and things that even have died off in people's bodies, that life will come as the word is ministered, truth comes, and freedom flows forth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're starting a series on, we're calling it Healing Clinic because that's what we're going to do. You know, people, they get sick and they go to their doctors or to urgent care. Some people, they use the emergency room for their family doctor. And just like people seek out help whenever they're ill in the natural, and some people are real good at that. Some people, they keep, you know, they keep their doctor on speed dial. And anyway, maybe we'll get to that in one of these messages. But we know that our healing comes from God, and that's part of our redemptive, really his redemptive plan for us. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. But tonight we want to talk about healing and where it comes from. And I'm going to kick us off here tonight talking about healing. And we're just in a healing clinic, so you don't know what you're going to find here on Wednesday nights at Midweek Boost for a while, except healing. You're going to find healing. And this is, you might be sitting there going, well, I don't really know if I need healing. I tell you what, honey, if you don't need it tonight, you're going to need it. And the people in your life and your family are going to need it. And healing may not be so important to you till you get a kid. Have a baby and have your baby run a temperature and find out suddenly how important healing is in your life. You know, it's the truth. And so whether you feel like tonight I need healing or not, that's not the issue. We're not here tonight just to receive healing. We're here tonight to build a foundation in healing. Because it's something that we all need, because we live in bodies. It's a really strange situation. We, when we're born again, we're recreated. We become new creations. We are new people. So spiritually, we are brand new. But we live in these older bodies. We live in bodies that have not yet been regenerated. Now God, by his spirit that's within us, is infusing us with his life. And he's renewing our youth. But yet, we are living in bodies that are dying. And so it's a really weird situation. It's really very unnatural what's happening right now, because the real me is more alive than I've ever been, but yet this case that I'm living in is dying. All of us here are dying. You think, oh, I'm dying? Yeah, you're on your way to death. That's kind of rough, right? But it's true. You're dying. And if Jesus doesn't come snatch you through death in a moment, you're going to go through death in a moment. Somebody's going to do something to dispose of your body. But you're, all of us, when we're in the meanwhile dealing with bodies, and we're dealing with bodies that are affected by things that are, you know, around us in the world, and we have to strengthen God's healing flow in our lives so that his healing power will fight off. Thank God for a strong immune system. Thank God for that. Thank God for, you know, eating healthy. Thank God for that. It's really good to eat fruits and vegetables, if y'all didn't know that. Plants, they're really good for you. You might want to take some vitamins. Matt takes his whole handful of vitamins. Some look like some. I think some of them are that big. I'm like, how are you choking that down, man? He's just really, as he's aged, he's really started to become a firm believer in vitamins. But every now and then, you know, I make him eat some vegetables. And but then, you know, so that's good. Exercise is good. Do y'all know exercise is good? I mean, there's got to be some reason I did those 300 squats this morning. Let's hope it's doing something. No, it's good. Courtney, you been doing any? Okay. It's good stuff for you. But look, we're not relying on that. We got something much better, much greater, much stronger, much more sure. We have God's healing power and his guarantee of healing and wholeness in our bodies. So thank God for that. Now let's open our Bibles tonight because we got some scriptures we're going to be reading. And I want to just start. This is a scripture that's just been ringing around on the inside of me for days now. So I thought I'll just let it ring out here tonight. It's a simple scripture, but one that you should know. And it's Psalm 107 and verse 20. So if you write in your Bible or highlight things, this is a good one to highlight or star. You know, I know many of you use some kind of electronic Bible. You can highlight in those, I found. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Boy, this is applicable in a lot of situations. He sent his word and healed them. Now, who is the he in this sentence? It's God. And God sent his word and healed his people. Now, one thing you're going to hear in these, as we go through these next weeks, you're going to hear this, that healing has always been provided for God's people. He's always provided for healing. Healing didn't just come with Jesus. Healing was part of the old covenant. And healing was very evident in the ministry of Jesus. But then we see it in the Acts. It was very prevalent in the early church, and it should be prevalent today in the church. The church today should be famous for healing. But we're actually more famous for hoping for healing or praying for healing, which we'll get into. Don't get me started. Y'all are just about to get me started. But we should be famous for actual healing. Amen. He sent his word and healed them. Now, do any of y'all have his word tonight? You know, never has a generation had the word so readily available. We got the word. I got it up here two ways. I got it in paper form and I got it here. And there's probably no telling how many ways I could get it on this thing. How many translations? But he sent his word to heal us. He sent his word and brought healing to us. Now, that's the Old Testament version. The New Testament version of that verse is Romans 1:16. And it just says this. It's something you know. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Now, salvation, if you know anything about what that word salvation means completeness and wholeness. The power of the gospel brings forth in the lives of the people who receive it healing, wholeness, soundness, well-being in every area of your life. Not just in your body, but certainly in your body. So this is the New Testament version. The power of God is in the gospel. That is his word to us, the good news. The power that brings forth healing in our bodies is in his word, the gospel. Y'all seeing that? So Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. And whenever I read or think of the phrase that he has sent his word, it reminds me of Isaiah 55. So let's go over to Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to read some of these verses. I'm going to lay a lot of scripture on you and then we're going to get down into it. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Here's a revelation. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, are not your thoughts. Boy, that's a big revelation. Nor are your ways my ways. And I just imagine when God said this, you know, when the Lord spoke this and Isaiah's hearing and Isaiah brought forth this word, I can just see the Lord going, well, I tell you one thing. The way you think ain't the way I think. The way you do stuff, it ain't the way I do stuff. I mean, that's kind of the way. In my mind, he's just looking at the pathetic mess that mankind is and how mixed up people are. And he's thinking, this ought not be. The way you're thinking is so crossways with the way I think. And the way you do things is so messed up and so crossways with the way I do things. And but then, you know, he saw us in that pathetic mess, but I'm so glad he didn't leave us in that pathetic mess. Because verse 9 goes on to say, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall, in that same way, my word goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So he looks and sees the pathetic mess that mankind is, dead in their trespasses and sins. And not only that, those that, you know, and all of us fall in this category in one way or another, those that are ignorant of God's ways, blinded, deceived, walking according to the course of this world. And God looks at that and says, "Here is the plan to straighten you out, to give you my thoughts, to show you and teach you my ways. I'm sending my word. I'm sending forth my word, and here's the great thing about my word. When my word goes forth, it accomplishes what I want it to, and it does the very thing for which I sent it." And I just read to you from Psalm 107:20 what he sent his word to do. He sent his word to heal us. And here he's saying he sent his word, he's given his word, and his word prospers for the thing whereunto he sent it. It prospers in it. It brings the desired result. Praise God. But now, this is, you know, God dealing with the people in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. But, you know, this reminds me of New Testament. Again, there's the New Testament version of this. And it's over in Mark chapter 4. And there, here in Mark 4, Jesus is giving us some real good insight. And Mark chapter 4 is a really important chapter. Pastor Matt spoke out of some parts of this on Sunday. But we're going to read a lot of Mark chapter 4. And, I think I've said this to you probably a whole bunch of times, but I'm going to say it again to you tonight. Mark chapter 4 is a chapter in the Bible that you need to read. And I don't mean like you need to read it and check it off. I mean, you need to get well acquainted with Mark chapter 4. Because Mark chapter 4, whether you recognize it or not, it governs your life. Your life is determined by Mark chapter 4. And Mark chapter 4 tells you the secrets to spiritual things that you need to know and understand so that you can walk in what God has given you in Christ Jesus. And if you don't understand Mark chapter 4, you're going to walk through life thinking you're very spiritual. But if you don't understand Mark 4, you're going to just bumble through life. And if good things happen to you, it's just pretty much an accident. Mark chapter 4, just beginning in verse 3. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Remember earlier where he talks about that he sent... And going back to Isaiah 55, you don't have to go back over there. But he's talking about the seed and the bread and the earth bringing forth and budding and all. It's still the same language he's using, this idea of seed going in the ground. His word has always been seed. His word is still seed. His word will forever be seed. "A sower went out to sow," in verse 4, "and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." So just get a picture. It's a farmer. This is what Jesus is telling him. A farmer, he's got, just think of him, he's got a bag, and he's got a bag full of seed, and he's going out to plant his seed. And as he goes out to sow it, some of the seed just falls out of the bag, falls over, and it falls by the wayside. It's not even in the ground that's been prepared. It's just, you know, the hedgerows, the areas around, just, you know, where the tractor is going to run, and it falls there. And when it does, the birds of the air come and they devour it. And then verse 5, "And some fell on stony ground." So some of the ground, it was good. I mean, it was tilled up ground, but it was stony. I mean, my grandfather used to have a garden. I don't know how he got anything out of that garden because it was just rocks. I remember digging for potatoes the end of every summer. You'd go out, potato, you know, big hills of potato. The hills would crack, and you'd know the potatoes are bulging out, cracking the ground. you'd start digging in there for little new potatoes, and you think you getting a really great tomato, and you pull it, I mean, excuse me, potato, and you pull it out, and it's a big rock. So it was stony ground, but somehow or another, he still got something out of it. It says some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. Must have been really stony ground. It's kind of like sowing on cement. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Earlier, you know, late spring, we were planting a garden. This year, Matt and I didn't go to Australia for the first time in 7 years, so we could actually have a garden that we'd be there to harvest. So we were all excited. And we tried container gardening, and we got these really newfangled, it's kind of a situation. But anyway, we got these really cool containers to plant in. And Sean Lewis, he posted in our Facebook group, he said, hey, I got some extra plants that he'd grown from seeds. He says, anybody wants them? And he started listing what he had. When he got to okra, I'm claiming them all because that's like the best. Okra, finally. Now, Brian knows what I'm saying, okra. Some of y'all, okra. But some of y'all don't even know what it is. But let me tell you, you're missing out. So when he got to that, I'm like, stop. All those are mine. I'm on the way to get them, you know. Send Grayson to get them, actually. But they're mine. Don't be giving those away. And so Grayson got those and came home, and they're planted in little paper cups. I guess he had gotten a little seed. Okra seeds are real tiny, and he dropped them down and put a little bit of dirt in them, and they had grown up, and they were a little plant. But let me tell you, I was waiting on my containers to come. They hadn't shipped yet. I'd ordered them, waiting on them to come. And so every day I had to keep those little okra plants alive. And it was, I'm telling you, it was tough. Because they didn't have roots. They were just little bitty plants. It was the seed that sprouted and shot out, and it had little, you know, little tiny okra stalk, little bitty. But they had no root system developed, so therefore there was nothing to suck up the water. So, you know, they were just in a bad place. Every day I'd have to be out there just taking care of them, you know. And I mean, they were very precious because they were okra plants. So I had to, you know, it was almost like feeding a baby bird with a eyedropper. That's how I felt with those plants out there, making sure, you know. And my mom would come by and go, have you watered those plants? You know, like mothers do. And but it was a big ordeal. I would like to report that they grew, these okra that were just these little tiny, whatever, they grew over 7 feet tall. I've never seen okra that tall. It was craziness. But anyway, but when they start, and they have crazy roots now, but when they started, they didn't have any roots. And so a little bit of sun and they'd all be like this. And then you'd water them, and it was almost like you could even just almost see it. And they'd stand back up. And then in a few minutes, they'd get hot, and they'd fall down. You give them water, and they stand back up. Well, that's what he's saying. That's when there's no roots, you get scorched, and you wither away. And then verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it, and it yielded no crop. So, ooh. And then other seed fell on good ground. Good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Interesting, in verse 9, he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus always said very interesting things. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All the people there, as far as we know, had ears. But he said, he who has ears to hear. Not every ear is a hearing ear. Some ears just, I don't know, they're just there sort of to hang people's sunglasses on, I reckon. But he said here, use your ears to hear. And then he goes on, verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 ask him about the parable. And he said to them, to you, it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. In other words, there's a darkness over them and they can't hear. But he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. So he's talking about the sower sowing the word to sow again. This basket, their seed, what's the seed? The word. And here are the, and there are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And now he's going down and explaining a little more. When they hear, it's Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And I see this all the time. People come to church, maybe you know, they'll come into a service like this. They'll be here. They'll catch things every once in a while that are going on. A lot of times they're distracted even in the service. They're watching their phone, checking Facebook, looking around, you know, whiling away the time. Who knows what they're doing, counting the beams. Who knows what they're doing. These are things people do in church. And so there they are, and every now and then something kind of gets through. But as soon as they go through the doors and all, they couldn't even tell you what happened. They didn't know what was said. This just meant nothing to them. And that happens all the time. And frankly, there are places people go to church, that's all that happens. Sadly. Don't be that guy. And then it says, verse 16, likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, they receive it immediately with gladness. Oh, I've met these people. And reality is, we've all been these people. Receive it with gladness. But then they have no root in themselves. So they're really happy, but there's no root in themselves. So they endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Matt talked about this on Sunday. They're offended, offended. Now, verse 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Now, I'm going to remind y'all, what did he send his word to do? To heal us. So far, do you think these people have received healing? I mean, Satan came and got that word. So if he got that word, he got what the word was bringing, right? And then on the stony ground, they got the word and they received it with gladness. So maybe they received the healing with gladness. But guess what happened? They only endured for a time. So maybe they got some relief. Maybe they got some, you know. Have y'all ever seen that, or have you ever experienced that? I've seen it so many times. People come to a healing meeting. Somebody will minister to them. They'll receive. The pain will leave. And next morning, the pain's back. And they think, well, what was that? What was that? Because it happens. It's not a shock that it happens. This, the Bible predicts this will happen. So don't be like, oh, what was that? It was Mark 4. What it was? Mark 4. Okay. No roots. Okay. And then, verse 18. They're the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. When it becomes unfruitful, it had once been fruitful. So in this case, he sent his word and healed them. So healing was there. Healing was flowing in their lives. They were walking in healing. Their bodies were better. The cure had come. The disease had left. They'd got a good report. But because they get distracted, because they get their desire on other things, and because they get deceived by what's going on in this world around them and the cares are burdening them down, then they move off of the word, and then guess what happens? The word that brought them healing now becomes unfruitful, and they're back where they were. Maybe they're falling back towards where they were. Sometimes they end up much worse than they were when they received the word. Now, this word he sent to heal us. Remember I told you from Romans 1:16, the gospel, which is his word, in it is the power to make you whole in every way. So every area of your life, it works the same way. So this is a huge key. This is why you got to understand Mark 4 tonight. So you can figure out where you are and how not to stay where you are unless it's in verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Woo! That means your health is springing forth speedily. That means you're walking in health and wholeness and soundness, and your body's well. And you know, good ground, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm not sure exactly what 30 looks like. I'm not sure what 60 looks like. I'm not sure what 100 looks like. But I do know the story of John G. Lake. And I would think this would be in the 100 category. John G. Lake, who was South African during the bubonic plague. Deadly plague. People were dying everywhere. They couldn't even bury the bodies fast enough. They just have to stack them up and burn them. I mean, it was a terrible time. This is, you know, early centuries ago. And so they were in a terrible, terrible predicament. And he worked in the medical field, and he would be messing with the bodies and the people, you know, helping, and the people saying, you need to be careful because this can get on you. This virus is so deadly, it can transfer over to you and you can get it. And he said, no, it won't get on me. And they said, what do you mean it won't get on you? You don't understand how this is transmitted. He said, you don't understand, when that virus touches me, it dies. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, let me show you. And so they got some of his, what was it, Eddie? You can tell me.
Saliva.
The saliva. I was going to say blood. So they got some of his saliva and they put it on a slide. No, excuse me. Eddie can tell it better than me. Quick, Eddie, come and you tell it. No, don't do what I do to Matt and take over. Just
so they
nice.
Got saliva off of somebody who had recently passed. The bubonic plague was, you know, in the froth that was on the foam in the mouth. They put that under the slide, and they could see the plague teeming under the microscope. So then they took that slide and put it in Johnny Lake's hand, and then they put it back up under the slide, and all the bacteria was dead.
The virus.
Right, the virus, the bacteria, all the stuff was dead.
The disease.
That's that it. Short enough?
That was. Very good, Eddie. Very good. The disease was dead. Now that somewhere in this good ground, I'd say he had received the word about healing, and he was good ground, and he was bearing the fruit of healing and health and wholeness. Y'all, this is real stuff. Do you understand? It's real. And that's one thing I'm wanting to deal with as we go through this healing clinic, is I want healing to move out of the realm of hope so, maybe so, and into a sure thing. I want healing to move out of, for lack of a better word, a crapshoot, a roll of the dice, and into the realm of it's a sure thing. Because that's where it is in the Bible, but sadly that's not where it is in the church. There's more when it comes to healing in the church today. Healing is more of a religious activity, something that we can, you know, post about in social media and say we're praying about, and, you know, kind of pet each other about and give each other special attention over. That it's more in that realm than anything to do with really expecting people to be well and whole and free. And I'm tired of it. I'm really, really tired of it. I'm tired of people playing around, all of us, with healing, because this was the bread and butter of Jesus Christ. This, more than anything, is what he was known for. And this is why people flocked to him the way they did. They came to hear and be healed. And it's so sad in the church, even people who believe in healing don't really believe in it and don't really expect it. And I'm done with that. And I'm tired of the deception that we've fallen under and as lazy as we've gotten. And I'm telling you, if you are a child of the Most High God, you have, and you're going to hear this in these next weeks, you have the right, and I would add the responsibility, to live healed and whole. Because Jesus, he gave it all for you. And he suffered and paid a terrible price for you to be healed in your body. It's not optional as far as I'm concerned. It certainly, the Bible doesn't seem to think it is. It seems to be pretty important in the scripture. And we've kind of made it this little thing on the side. And maybe if it's a really tough case and the doctors really can't help you, and they've done everything that they possibly could do, then we'll get a prayer chain going. How many people get healed off prayer chains? When's the last great big miracle you saw off of 22,000 likes? Honestly, let's just be real here. If this is what gets the job done, why aren't we hearing great testimonies from it? All right, I'm going to just share a little story right here. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm riled up. Just going to tell you. So I got a friend, minister friend, loves to post on Facebook and get everybody to pray about these situations. Every day there's a new situation. Somebody that needs really dire straits, they got to have prayer. All you prayer warriors, y'all pray. I don't know what we're supposed to pray. How do I know if I'm a prayer warrior? I don't know. It's just out there. All you prayer warriors, we all got to pray. Nobody ever tells me what to pray. So there was a situation, circumstance. It was a young girl, a teenage girl, been diagnosed with a terrible form of cancer. I mean, ravaging her body. Horrible. She was terribly disfigured. Lost all. I mean, you couldn't even. They have a picture of who she is and the picture of her now in the hospital. You'd never even know it's the same person. Terribly bloated from the drugs. Oh, it's awful. You can't even imagine this happening to a child. And we'll just give her a name, Sarah Jo. So her name's Sarah Jo. It's not really, but in case her mother's here tonight. And so every day, a new post about Sarah Jo and what we need to pray. And what we need, you know, not what we need to pray, but that we need to pray because this is going on and that's going on. This is going on and that's going on. And we just need to pray and we all got to pray. And everybody get up, share this and get more people praying. And Sarah Jo's just getting worse and worse. And y'all, I'm telling you, I'm seeing Sarah Jo and I'm thinking, somebody needs to help Sarah Jo. This is terrible. Well, Sarah Jo's mother writes blogs, and so those get posted too. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, it was like a drama. I don't really watch TV. I certainly don't watch those things or Real Housewives or Kardashian, none of this stuff. So I miss all that. So I got to get drama somewhere. And Sarah Jo was giving me the drama. Honestly, it's terrible. What I'm telling you is terrible. So every day, every morning, I'd get up, you know, and I could hardly finish reading a scripture before I had to get on Facebook and find out what was going on with Sarah Jo. Did her mama post? Did she make it through the night? What was her blood count? And I had to know. I'm just telling y'all how sick this is. You understand? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all follow these same things. And so it's going on, and I'm just really concerned about her. But we got to get more people to pray, and I'm not sure what we're supposed to be praying, but we got to do it, and we got to get some kind of more spiritual activity happening so that we can do something to stop this thing from happening with Sarah Jo. Well, one morning I wake up, I open it up, there's a blog, it's her mama. Her mama's writing, and her mama has a whole blog about, well, if God chooses to heal Sarah Jo, that'll be great, and that's what I really want. But if he doesn't choose to heal her and she goes to heaven and blah, 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 blah. You've read it before. I don't know what happened, y'all. I don't know what came over me. I don't know. I just think I take very little responsibility for what I did next. But I got on private messenger with my minister friend who was doing all the posting, and I sent a message. And my message said, you do know Sarah Jo's going to die, don't you? She sends me a reply. What do you mean? And I said, well, I know you got everybody in the world praying, but Sarah Jo's mother has no clue how to receive from God. And I said, you, instead of getting everybody to praying, you need to go and see Sarah Jo and her mama and give them the word. I said, what have you ministered to them? And she says, well, Sarah Jo is my neighbor, and I've never actually met Sarah Jo. Y'all, this is the reality of life in the Christian church. Are y'all not in the same church I'm in? Do y'all not know Christians? And so I said, well, let me give you some really good advice. If you want Sarah Jo to be healed, you should put your energy in ministering the word to Sarah Jo and to her mama who has authority. But now let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to just post everything and repost everything and repost everything on social media and let's all get excited and let's all look at the really terrible pictures and feel awful and think God needs to heal Sarah Jo because it's so terrible. But Sarah Jo's going to die. And Sarah Jo died. And 25,000 people said, oh my God, God needed another angel in heaven, and he took Sarah Jo. And all of that is so like, okay, that's fine. We love that. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's fine. Heaven forbid somebody mention Allah or whatever your pet political subject is, then you'll get all riled up. But you can blaspheme my God in that way all day long, and we're just all like, yeah, we'll pray, we'll pray, we'll just all pray. I'm just tired of it. It's just an assault all the time, and I'm tired of it. He sent his word and healed us. Healing is in his word. People have to have the word. And we substitute, I said this to you on Sunday, and I'm telling you, we do it all the time. We substitute prayer for the word. And I'm going to just challenge you tonight. We'll talk about this another week. But tell me in the Bible where it tells me to pray for the sick. Because I only know one place. And we'll talk about that. But I can tell you, you never saw Jesus praying for the sick. We have just gotten all goofed up. Because I'm going to just tell you something else. Me personally, I have been healed so many times in my life. How many of you have been healed? But do you know, I'm just going to be really honest with you. I can't say for sure I've ever been healed when anybody even ministered to me. I have been healed so many times in Jeremy Gall meetings, sitting right there in that chair, listening to the word. Now, you and me have got to build in our lives the word of God concerning healing, the word of God concerning everything. But I'm telling you, I'm a little riled up here. Sorry about, not very sorry, actually. That's a complete lie. I'm not sorry in the least. But I have to tell you here, if we want what Jesus has done for us, we need to find out how the kingdom operates. And we need to learn to receive based on what the Bible says and not based on our Christian traditions. So no wonder we don't have much healing power in the church, because we just practice Christian traditions and we don't know what the Bible says. Now, let's just go down here to verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, here it is. The kingdom. Everything in the kingdom is governed by this principle. Everything works on this principle. Salvation comes, deliverance comes, healing comes. Everything in the kingdom works on this principle, that a man would cast seed in the ground, scatter seed on the ground, it says in this translation, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain comes, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And this is how the whole kingdom works. So those are some of the most important things Jesus ever said, and really some of the greatest revelation you'll ever have. If you understand this, it all works on seed time and harvest. So here's the deal. You get sick. And you know, you've been to church, and you know, you've been around long enough, wherever it is you've been, you've heard that God heals. And maybe you even believe it's God's will to heal. And maybe you even believe, you know, you kind of know, yeah, God's will is for me to be healed. And so now you're sick. So what do? You start doing all the things you know to do. You start, maybe you pray. Maybe you believe you receive. Maybe you start speaking to the pain and telling it to leave your body. But you don't get any better. You just stay sick. Has anyone here ever had this? Oh. So what do you do then? Honestly, what do you do? Because we've all had this experience. What do you do then? Well, I tell you what most people do. They go on about their business, make it through the day best they can, and maybe they try again tomorrow. But somewhere along the way, they start wondering, why is this not working? Some of them come up to me and say, I did all that and it ain't working. You know what some do? Some, they get mad and they leave Good News Church because it ain't really like what they say. Healing doesn't really work that way. It's really God's timing. You remember when Jesus told, you know, the 17 blind people that came to Jesus to be healed, and he told them, excuse me, it's not your time. Not your time. You remember them? So they get mad and they leave. There's people that are not here tonight because they got mad because healing didn't work the way that we preach that it works. But they forgot this part about the kingdom and how you have to sow the seed. And there's not one person in this room tonight that doesn't have to do this. And there's not one person here tonight that's immune from doing this. And there's not one person here tonight who's an exception to the fact that if you want to receive what's available to you in the kingdom, you have to put seed in the heart. You have to put seed in the ground. You have to sow the word concerning healing in your heart. And it has to be sown in good ground. And it, let me tell you, has to be sown and sown and sown and sown. And it's not like you sow it today and 17 years from now you can reap a great harvest on it and not do a thing between here and there. Because I guarantee you, in those 17 years, some birds are going to come by and eat it. And some weeds are going to choke it out. And the world we live in is full of weeds trying to choke the word out of your life. So I would advise you to put the word in every day. Now see, we have developed into this really strange thing. I've just been thinking about this lately. I've been thinking about, what is the deal? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't get church people. I didn't grow up in church. In fact, I really never regularly attended church but one year, one calendar year before I even ever came to Good News Church and pastored. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know much about church. And I found out since I've been pastoring why I didn't go to church all those years, and it's because of church people. So I understand why people don't come to church, because it's church people. Because, you know, they pay me to be here, so. Not sure I could be here. But I'm just being honest tonight. I mean, man ain't here. But I got to tell you, I don't get it. Because see, and I think here's what it is. People think of church as the place that they do spiritual things, where they feed the word, you know, even if they even have some vague notion of eating the word, you know, feeding yourself spiritually. That's like something that happens at church. So church is this building that you go to, and there's spiritual things and activities and words and preaching. And then you go back out into your life. And then you're out there a few days, and then if you have time and the kids don't have soccer practice and, you know, you're feeling okay and you ain't mad at, well, you know, too many people at church, then you'll come back again and get a little word and hyped up. Frank will get you going. You know, somebody glad hand you and you can go on your way. And this is somehow or another your spiritual life. See, I didn't grow up that way. So I didn't ever equate spiritual activity to happening in a building, because we didn't have a building. We quit going to the building because the pastor kept telling the congregation how God was making them sick. So my dad said, I'm not going to keep taking my kids over there and having to unpreach that all the way home. So we just quit going. So I grew up in a house where what we had at home was the word playing night and day, day and night, night and day. And it was the King James Version, and it was some British guy talking, and it was scary. Alexander Scorby, I mean, it's scary. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're in your room, the house is totally dark, you're a little kid, and you hear this guy speaking King James English in there. It's scary. But somewhere in all of that, something got sown in my heart. So So my spiritual activity wasn't limited to a building. And then I had to read, like my parents made these index cards. So I'm a little kid. And they're making these index cards with scripture verses that I'm supposed to memorize. And I'm going to be tested on it next week. Yeah. They were trying to hide the word in my heart. We didn't go to a building. There wasn't a pastor. It was just them doing the best they could with what they had. I'm reading E.W. Kenyon books when I'm 10 years old. Most people can't read them now. Won't read them now. It warped me up, man. Warped me slap up. It doesn't just happen in a building. You got to build the word into your life. You got to get some verses. You got to read your Bible. You got to find out what God said about who you are. You got to let yourself be convinced that Jesus really paid the penalty for your sin and everything that sin brought. That's the gospel. And you got to let that be real to you, man. And I think about me and what I struggle to receive. What must it be like for people that all they get is just, they show up to church late, 2 times a month, and that's their entire spiritual feeding. I hope one day I don't have to send a private message to somebody and say, Sarah Jo's going to die. It's not a game, guys. It's not a game. You just think what a farmer does to get the seed in the ground and how he watches over that seed. His whole life's about that, man. He can't go on vacation when the crops need watering. He can't take a day off. I mean, it might be Labor Day, but if the crop's in the field, he's got to get it in. Ain't nobody give him the... They work at night. They get big lights and shine them in the field so they can get the stuff in. It's a big deal, y'all. That's what Jesus said it was like to put the word in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you something else. That stony ground that my grandfather had, he spent a whole lot of time picking up rocks and throwing them out of the field. He used to give us little buckets and we'd have to fill them up with the rocks, the stones we'd find up and down the rows. He's trying to get the stones out of the field. But if we have a stony heart, it's just how I am. This is the way I feel. I don't want to have to send a private message. But this is real deal. Y'all, I want to be sweet. I want to be nice. I really do. I would, you know, that would be, I really like it. Don't y'all like me? But I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to do you any good to like me. You need to hear the truth. It's the deal, y'all. I know people who died who believed like you. I know people who went to churches like you and they died young. That'll shake you up. It'll shake you up when people that you think are just right where you are spiritually and something takes them out. Boy, what happened? I don't know what happened. But I know what Mark 4 says. And I'm not going to base my life on anybody's experience. I'm basing my life on the most sure word. So I'm telling you tonight, he sent his word. And that word brings healing. But what are you doing with that word? What are you doing with it? God spoke to Abraham. Well, Abraham's children, really, it was the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6. And he said, you need to take my word and you need to put it as frontlets in front of your eyes. You need to write it on your doorpost. You don't need to eat a meal where you don't talk about my word. You don't need to walk anywhere, or in our case, drive anywhere where you don't talk about the word. You got to fill your life with the word. And if you've got sickness, or if you have recurring sicknesses, or if you have chronic ailments, You ain't got nothing else. You can what TV show was that you were watching? What ball team do you follow their game? You ain't even got time for that. I'm just saying it. It's how it is. Whatever's going on, this is the answer. You can get mad. You can say, well, that was a hard thing to chew on. I'm just saying. I want you to live. I want you to be well and whole. I want you to live a long, satisfied. I don't want you to die early. I talked about that several Sundays ago. I don't want you dying early. And I sure don't want everybody blaming God because you died early. I mean, if you're going to die early, at least have the decency to say, this isn't God's doing. We all have fallen. We all fall short. We're here for each other. We stand together. We can agree. We can pray for each other. That's the context of the one time that praying for each other is used in, praying for healing is used in the Bible. We'll talk about that. But I'm telling you, when it gets down to it, every person has to choose. You got a chooser right in there. You got to choose. And choosing life doesn't just mean at the moment you're like, okay, God, I choose healing. Choosing life, you do it every day. Choosing life is choosing the word. Because my words are life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh. Choose life. My words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Choose life. My words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Do you get it? How do you choose life? You choose the word and you choose it every day and you choose it every time and you choose it all day, every day, and you don't let it depart from your eyes. You attend to it. You keep it in the midst of your heart. And then you'll have life and you'll have health. Praise God. Well, we're going to stop right there. Not that we couldn't go on. Father, we thank you tonight. Y'all can stand. We thank you tonight, Father, for your word. Your word is truth. And we receive it as the truth. And every one of us, Father, we just make an adjustment here. We just make a turn. Whatever it was we had our attention on, we turn it to you. We turn it to the word. Father, we recognize this is real deal business with you. You weren't playing around when you sent Jesus. Jesus wasn't playing around when he turned and offered his back so that he could be beaten, bear those stripes so that we would be healed. That was real blood. That was real flesh that was torn open. It was a real deal pain, excruciating pain he bore. The great penalty that was paid so we could be healed. You weren't playing around, and we're not going to play around. Hallelujah. We're not going to just fill our lives with spiritual activity, religious activity. Father, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to get results. Hallelujah. That's what you planned. That's our reasonable service. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.